This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Dr. Paul Kengor, professor at Grove City College in Grove City, Pennsylvania. He's also the author of several political books, perhaps most appropriate for this conversation, God and George W. Bush. We want to get his thoughts as Professor Kengor has written a commentary for publication suggesting that President Bush needs a lot more credit for his campaign to fight AIDS in Africa, which recent reports suggest has saved at least a million lives. And Dr. Kengor, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you, Greg. Good to be back.
Well, George W. Bush is not given much positive coverage in the mainstream media, and he really hasn't been talked about much at all since leaving office. Certainly this story hasn't gotten much attention. Explain this report that suggests that his policies are responsible for saving up to a million lives in Africa.
Yeah, this is really classic, Greg. It's classic media and George W. Bush. There was a major study done in April by two researchers from Stanford University School of Medicine. These are MDs, PhDs. It was published in an actual medical journal. Stanford University School of Medicine did a press release on it. And they have evaluated George W. Bush's relief plan, AIDS relief plan for Africa, which began back in January 2003 as a $15 billion package. And they estimate that he has cut the AIDS rates by at least 10% through this AIDS package, and that George W. Bush's policy plan package has literally saved over 1 million African lives.
There have been so many different aid packages destined for Africa, and most of the money, unfortunately, ends up in the hands of criminal leaders and gang leaders and other people who don't have much to do with the mission of the money in the first place. Why was this one more successful?
Well, that's a good question, but I think generally speaking, he put together a very good plan. And this, this is somebody, I mean, more directly answer your question, the way that they did prevention, the way that they did relief, but generally, I think this is a great example of where you had a Republican president, someone who had been a governor in the state of Texas, who was not going to be duped and so willing to just pour money down a rat hole, as so often happens with a lot of aid that goes into the third world. They carefully put together a plan that they thought would work, and what this study has shown is that it has worked. And what I think is so outrageous here, Greg, is that if a liberal Democrat president, if a Bill Clinton, if a Barack Obama, if a President Hillary Clinton or somebody like that had done what Bush has done, I think everybody in America would know about it. I mean, you could do, Jay Leno could do man on the street things. He could talk to 8-year-olds coming out of elementary schools in Los Angeles, and they'd be clamoring about where's the media attention? I mean, they'd be hailing this great Bush plan. So, I mean, they'd be building statues to this guy in New York and San Francisco. But because George W. Bush has done this, there's been complete silence on it. Some people have commended him. Bill Clinton has. Bob Geldof, the musician who's done a lot of work in Africa, has commended him for this. George Bush himself has talked about it in two or three appearances in the last few months. But it just goes into a media black hole. There's no attention on it, and he's not going to be feted with a trip to the Nobel Committee to win his Nobel Peace Prize.
We're talking with Dr. Paul Kengor of Grove City College, and Dr. Kengor, you point out in your piece that at the time that this program was proposed, not everyone in the party was behind it because there were budget hawks and people who think that government spending needs to be reined in to some extent, so it wasn't necessarily hugely popular to spend this $15 billion. So how do you blend the two now, the compassionate conservatism as Bush defined it back in 2000?
Yeah, and that's a fair question. In fact, I've been writing about this since 2004, and I've always gotten two reactions, criticisms from the left and the right. And yes, the one from the right that you're alluding to, I would hear often, look, we can't afford this. I mean, we've got record budget deficits. This was, again, he proposed this in January 2003, so this was right after the post-9/11 recession. This was after the war in Afghanistan. We were literally preparing to invade Iraq that spring. And at the end of Bush's 8 years, there was a record $400 billion deficit. So, yeah, I mean, fiscally, when it comes to our budget, one could easily say that this was something that we really couldn't afford. But the way George W. Bush saw this, he said, this is a humanitarian issue. This is a dignity of life issue. And this is something that only America could do at that point in time, regardless of deficit. And the other thing that he didn't say, because this is a very humble man, is that only he, among Western leaders who could afford it in the first place, I mean, Europe wasn't behind this, only he could do it, and only he was willing to do it. And also here I would add, and this is something that the liberals who are listening really need to grapple with this. When George W. Bush did his first major press conference before the first check was even cut on this plan, this would have been April 2003, and the media sort of incredulous and bewildered and asking him, well, you know, why, sir, do you really want to do this? And George W. Bush starts quoting the New Testament and talking about the parable of a good Samaritan. And he says, you know, when we see that wounded traveler on the road to Jericho, America should not step to the other side of the road. So this comes right out of the man's heart, right out of a man's personal faith, areas that the left in particular ridiculed him for while he was president.
Does that answer your earlier question then, Paul, about why the media doesn't pay attention to this? Because they never particularly appreciated the fact that he did bring up his faith and how it influenced his policy?
That could be part of it. I had from the other side one piece I wrote on this, Greg, way back in the fall of 2004. The op-ed page of the San Francisco Chronicle actually gave me a nice platform to write an op-ed piece on this. I really commend the editor for that, by the way. But I can't even begin to tell you all the hate mail that filled my email box from liberals in the San Francisco area who just were flat out refusing to believe that the plan even existed. I mean, they were claiming that it didn't even exist, that the whole thing was a ruse to begin with. So, you know, right there, I would say that wasn't so much due to the fact that Bush's faith was behind it as much as they just hated George W. Bush. And as far as they were concerned, the guy was some sort of Satan incarnate who couldn't do anything right. And even when he did something that they ought to embrace, and by the way, here I would point to so-called social justice Christians on the religious right and on the religious left. I mean, these folks should have been leaping up and down applauding this effort, and they've been deafeningly silent on it as well.
Fascinating to learn about and fascinating to understand why there hasn't been more attention paid to this. Dr. Ken Gore, thanks so much for your time.
Okay, Greg. Thank you.
Dr. Paul Ken Gore teaches at Grove City College in Pennsylvania. He's the author of several political books, including God and George W. Bush. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.